Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, June 25th, Thankful Thursday. I am recording on location in Orlando, Florida. I'm in my hotel room, so if the sound is a little off, that's why. We are beginning the book of Exodus today. I'm so excited. You know what I'm going to say. Move on over to the Bible Project Videos website, and you can watch the video on Exodus 1 through 18, which helps give just a background of why this book is even called Exodus. It's because the Israelites are fleeing Egypt. They're taking their exodus from Egypt. And the beginning of this passage talks about how God called his people to be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. Does that sound familiar? That was also the command that God gave to Adam and Eve and the first humans, where he promised blessings from the beginning. But as you're going to see, Pharaoh, the nemesis in this story, one of the most evil characters as of yet in the scriptures, he attempts to destroy the source of God's blessing. We're supposed to be reading Exodus 1, 1 through 14 today, but that means we would skip over one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament about the midwives. So I'm just going to read the whole chapter, Exodus chapter 1, in the Christian Standard Bible. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. Each came with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan and Naphtali; Gad and Asher. The total number of Jacob's descendants was 70. Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation eventually died. But the Israelites were fruitful, increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous, so that the land was filled with them. A new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further, and when war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So the Egyptians assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramses as supply cities for Pharaoh. But the more they oppressed them, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. They worked the Israelites ruthlessly and made their lives bitter with difficult labor in brick and mortar and in all kinds of field work. They ruthlessly imposed all this work on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, the first, whose name was Shiphrah, and the second, whose name was Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women give birth, observe them as they deliver. If the child is a son, kill him. But if it is a daughter, she may live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had told them. They let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this and let the boys live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very numerous. Since the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Pharaoh then commanded all his people, "You must throw every son born to the Hebrews in the Nile, but let every daughter live." The first chapter of Exodus is setting up a wonderful story of God's redemption. We have a review here of all the names of the sons of Jacob and their families, And as I mentioned earlier, they were fruitful and multiplied, and the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, did not like it. He saw them as a threat, and so they put them into slave labor. Wasn't it interesting that 400 years passed when Joseph was such a man of power in Egypt? Now they don't even know who he is. There's a lesson there for learning from our past. But here we find the Israelites enslaved, and the harder they are worked, the more fruitful and blessed they become. And so the king of Egypt tries to take matters into his own hands, and he talks with the midwives and says, "Kill the boy babies." But they feared God more than they feared man. And so they told maybe the truth that these are vigorous women and the babies come out before we can get there. That could be the truth. It wasn't the whole truth. But the whole truth was that they honored God and they knew the value of all human beings. And so this is setting up chapter 2 with the birth of Moses and the fact that all the baby boys were having to be killed. So we're going to get to learn about what happens with Moses, who will be Israel's deliverer tomorrow. Now let's turn over to the Proverbs, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. We really could just hone in on verse 1, and each of us could try to meditate on the importance of this. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. I'm going to read that one again. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. The house of the righteous has great wealth, but trouble accompanies the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise broadcast knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves the one who pursues righteousness. Discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together every day. I can't help but be thankful today on this Thankful Thursday for people in my life who answer me gently. Bring to mind someone right now who often just has the sweetest, honey-filled speech for you. They are encouraging and forgiving and often building you up, pointing out the positive. Let's be thankful for those kind of people in our lives today. As we continue asking ourselves questions to prompt gratitude, we're on a question today that I think is significant, especially in light of what we read in Joseph's story. Here is the prompt. Imagine if something good had not happened, or imagine something that could have gone wrong but didn't. How would life be different? I'm going to read it again, and I want to encourage you to take a few minutes to write out your answer. Imagine if something good had not happened. Or imagine something that could have gone wrong, but didn't. How would my life be different? When I ponder this prompt, many things come to mind. But the first thing that came to mind was a picture of my dad, my oldest two kids, and Wayne outside the chapel at Duke University. And Many of you know that my dad had lymphoma 3 years ago, and I think about the fact that them being able to go 3 years later to enjoy a basketball game together, which was on Wayne's bucket list and my dad's bucket list. My dad had played there when he was in college, and they went to a basketball game and they took pictures around campus. And when I look at that picture, I am filled with gratitude to God for his provision and his healing. And I just want to praise him and share my testimony of his graciousness with you today. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your character. Lord, that you bless those who fear you. We thank you for a person today, maybe someone like the midwives who protected us, perhaps someone who was gentle with us, and someone who was wise, but spoke those wise words in an attractive manner. We thank you for a place. Today, I want to thank you for all the biblical places and just the fact that we can read this narrative and see you at work. Thank you for something, whatever comes to mind. And Lord, we thank you for those situations where something good happened that we might have taken for granted if we weren't doing this gratitude exercise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your provision in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.